Let's go back at you, episode 108. You know, the same podcast, just a new year, and we're bringing it back by popular demand. Everyone knows what time it is.
Dynasty Wednesday.
It'll be Thursday. I'll drop it on Thursday. But yes. Dynasty is Midwest Monsters is back. And me and you both started a new Dynasty League this year, but we all know what the OG one is. Everyone listening, people, I haven't heard much about Midwest Monsters. Where is it at? I didn't really know what to tell them. I didn't know if we were going to bring it back or not, just because we have more, you know, random listeners. But yeah, you can't stray away from it.
Yeah, you got to stay true to your day ones. But I'm fine straying away here and there. I mean, hey, we're both 0-1, so
fuck us, right?
We'll talk about everyone else.
Sure. Yeah, I went up. There's been a couple trades in the past couple days. I went up to 2 days ago, September 11th. You want to talk about trades real quick?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, let me. Who's the first one?
Me and Billy on September 11th.
All right. Yeah, you go ahead while I scroll all the way up to find it.
Okay. So I.
We're good. Go ahead.
My big philosophy is, let everyone overreact week one, and I will try and trade my pieces high that aren't going to find my way into the lineup. And that's pretty much exactly what I did with two of these four trades. I tried to trade off Romeo Doubs just because I don't think Doubs will be anything more than a wide receiver three. So I try to trade him high. I think that's what I did.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do like Romeo. I think he's the guy that's going to lead the team in targets.
So I sent off Evan Ingram, which, I mean, I have Kyle Pitts. I should be setting tight end, but that's a song for another time. But I sent off Evan Ingram and Romeo Doubs, and I got back OBJ, which even without OBJ, and I got back a 20 and. He's an aging team, and I am banking on this being a top five pick in 2025. Pieces that I don't believe in, no. So I was like, you know what? We'll just take an extra first.
Yeah, I do like Romeo, but again, it's an unproven quarterback, and just offense in general. He's kind of unproven. But I definitely do like Romeo, but your wide receivers, he's not going to see that lineup until he'd have to be averaging 15 a game for a couple weeks for you to actually play him over your guys.
Doubs is like my wide receiver. At the end of this year, he could be my wide receiver like five, but even in the three flex league, I didn't really need him. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. This trade between you and our new league manager, Jack Merrill, started a string of three right in a row. So this is a long
one. Yeah, I didn't think it was going to start anything major, but boy, was I wrong. I mean, everyone who's, you know, listens and obviously our league mates knows, you know, I tanked last year. I saw myself as a middle of the road team, you know, maybe make playoffs. And you never know what can happen in playoffs, but I just didn't want to – you know, be in that situation. So I started tanking. So I've been looking for young pieces, and that started to work. And then I realized, I'm probably not gonna be able to field like a team. Like, all my guys are gonna be rookies. So I started, you know, chipping off, you know, an injured Breece Hall who had, you know, different upside, Kyle Pitts who has obviously young and upside, to get players that I could actually feel the team and maybe compete, you know, maybe win a couple games and not just be losing every time. So throughout the offseason, I got some players and, you know, I just wanted to make, you know, and just keep acquiring young guys that have proven it and studs. And Jack Merrill's team is battling injury. So I traded Christian Kirk, David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, and Anthony Richardson for Jonathan Taylor, T. Higgins, and Baker Mayfield. Baker was just to get, you know, I lost my second quarterback, and my backup is Tannehill. It was just to have another guy. So yeah, I mean, I got the two, I think, best pieces in Teagans and Jonathan Taylor. I gave up who could be a league winning quarterback in Richardson, and then two to three guys that are starters every week, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, this helps out Jack's team too. Looking at his week two lineup, he has it updated. All four of the pieces you traded him are in his starting lineup.
He had
Taylor out. Aaron Jones dealing with a hamstring injury. Travis Kelce was out week one. Week two is still questionable. So he needed all those pieces. Granted, he's 1-0. He should, when fully healthy, he should be top to bottom. This short round too.
Yeah, helps him for this year. He has those older pieces like Henry and Hill. So he kind of just wants to try and capitalize on their windows of greatness. So yeah, definitely like a trade. Higgins is my wide receiver two now. And if JT can come back, you know, by week five and be back to normal, then I could still be in contention for a playoff run with some of my weapons that I have.
I know your team is so weird. Your team could go either way at this point, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, for this year, I'm still not expecting to be a full contender, but I think next year, once my rookies kind of pick up and they're in their second year, I think that's when I make the big jump.
The next trade that happened 10 minutes after the first one, I stumbled upon it. I was going about my business during the workday, and I see a notification from Colton pop up on my phone. Colton proposed a trade to you. And I was shocked. I've never seen him propose a trade to anybody. He's one of our least active. And so I looked at it. It was I would give up Roschon Johnson, and he would give me Chuba Hubbard and Zay Jones. What is this? I like Roschon. I don't think he's going to be anything special. Like he'll be a David Montgomery at best in his career, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It's a fine. It's not burning the house down by any means. So I just sent back, I'll send over Roschon and 2020. Me and you both believe, based on our preseason ranking, should be a top three pick. And I threw in Chuba Hubbard. He got 8-9 fantasy points. If I was sending Roschon away, I couldn't be left with four total running backs on my dynasty roster. So I threw in Chuba Hubbard too. And he accepted that so fucking fast. I triple texted Mason. I was like, hey, just sent this. I was like, hey, this would be a cool scenario. What not. And after I sent that, he accepted it. I was like, oh, okay. Sounds good. We'll get it done.
Yeah. And I had put fleece in the group chat. The only way this is not a fleece is if Colton's first is 108 through 110 and Roschon is just a complete stud. I don't see either of those two happening. I see Colton being worst case pick 105 and Roschon being by the end of the year, some guy who's getting you 12 max 12 points a week.
I mean, there is a world where Roschon's a starter and he's a pass catching back. We saw it already. There's a world where he does put up 15 fantasy points consistently. So I don't know about that.
I just don't know about consistently. But I mean, Colton needed a running back and I think he just accepted. I don't know. I don't know if he even saw what you sent back. I think he just saw Roschon and accepted.
I went to go look. He is not in his lineup for week two. And I actually agree with you. I think he saw the Roschon because he wanted Roschon from me. And I think he saw that I included him in the counter and he's like, boom, done. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But Colton, anyways, Colton. So I got seven firsts the next 2 years. Thanks, Colton.
So do I.
Oh, look at us. Last trade that went down, Riley, two of the top went down here, Kriegs and Riley. Riley received Damian Pierce and a 24 third. Throw the thirds out the window. You know how I feel about thirds. And Kriegs got Joe Mixon. So we both like Mixon better than Pierce for this year. I mean, in the long run, who the hell knows if Pierce is going to be a reliable fantasy option in 2024. So I don't know who sent the offer, but I think Krieg's won it.
Riley sent it.
Okay.
And he's been wanting Pierce for a while. Obviously, that was during the Josh Jacobs saga. He didn't have Bijan at the time or even the pick at the time. And this was during the mix-in. Who knows if he's going to play. So he was hurting for running back a while ago. And now he really isn't. I mean, he has three great fantasy option running backs. And he's a win-now team with the option to, continue being good for years with some of his players. I was just very surprised that he's shipped off Mixon. I mean, Mixon can be a top 12 running back this year, and I don't see that opportunity in Damian Pierce.
No, Riley put Tyler Allgeier in the trade block too. So it's just a carousel on to Infinity and Bijan with his running backs.
Yeah, I mean, he has Gainwell. I'm not sure if he's thinking that Gainwell's hurt right now. He's not playing tomorrow. So I don't know if he's just relying on him as his RB4 now. Pierce is RB3, that's fine, but I just personally don't like Pierce. He needs to score a touchdown to even stay afloat with a guy like Mixon, who doesn't need a touchdown to be good.
I didn't realize this until just now. I should have put two and two together, but Riley has Bijan and Tyler Allgeier. Why the hell are you looking to trade away Allgeier when you saw what they both did on the field together? Heaven forbid one of those two goes down. My God, RB1 week consistently for the healthier one. So
yeah, I don't get it. He has Elijah Mitchell, like I said, Gainwell, Allgeier on his bench, and then Ford, McBride, who he dropped, I believe, Charbonnet, Kendre Miller. Charbonnet Miller could be great for Dynasty, but they're probably not going to do anything this year. Gainwell already hurt. I don't know why you get rid of Allgeier. I think he's the RB, two on the year right now?
RB3.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would be keeping Allgeier. Like, you just got him. You gave up the 205 for him, which right now is looking like a steal.
And it's not like he's an aging running back either.
Yeah, he's not. I don't know what he'll get for him. Like, the person who will pay the most for Tyler Allgeier is the Bijan owner, and that's him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But anyways, let's minute or two each matchup. Let's start with Colton versus Jack Merrill, the only two teams in triple digits today or this week.
No, we had another one.
Oh, that's true. The 102 barely got over, but let's start with Colton and Jack Merrill. The 114 to 113, and the 114 side had gooses from Rodgers, obviously with the injury, and T. Higgins. So,
yes.
Turns out he just needed Tyreek Hill to win.
Yeah, when you have a guy get you 44 points, you should win.
He did have the RB1 and the wide receiver one in Jones and Hill, so he barely squeaked out the victory.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, Jack's team's a win-now team. Colton, he started Swift. Don't know why. That was dumb. Other than that, his team was good. And Sky Moore. Again, I understand the opportunity for Sky Moore heading into the week. And there really wasn't anyone else I would play over. Obviously, he had a couple guys on his bench that randomly did well. But, yeah, Colton lost. Haha.
Yeah, going forward, you just got to put Sky Moore on the bench where he belongs and ride with someone else.
He has him in the lineup week two, and I play him week two.
Oh, to Infinity and Bijan, Riley beat and Jigba's in Paris. Hate to see it. It was a down week. I was texting with Krieg earlier today, and I was like, yeah, we saw pretty much half of these teams' floors here. It was a down week for a lot of teams. Burrow got you 3 points. Christian Kirk, no one saw it coming, 1 point. You just would have liked more fantasy production. I get there was different circumstances with weather and whatnot, but it was a very winnable game for both sides. But Riley squeaked her out.
Yeah, and very encouraging to see my two of my rookie receivers, Addison and Zay, both 17 and 16. They're both in my lineup for next week. Not saying that they're going to do it again, but it was great seeing those flashes, and first round receivers are just so valuable. So it was nice to know that I could have won, especially coming off a tanking year. So I still have hopes for an average season.
If Lockett is out, are you throwing JSN?
JSN will be in every single lineup I have if Tyler Lockett is out.
Okay, well, you can't play all three then. So what, does Addison get the bench then?
I think I would be putting maybe Dotson on the bench. Denver's matchup could be pretty tough. But yeah, JSN would immediately go in. Maybe between Zay, it's rainy already, and we saw last time the rain screwed up some fantasy players. I don't know. It would definitely be one I have to think about, but JSN, I would love to have in all my lineups if Lockett's out.
We'll touch on Riley's team. I was thinking about this on my drive home from my haircut today, and the lady didn't say one word to me again. I was happy.
Yeah.
I was thinking – before we even played a game, I drafted Calvin Ridley during a suspension last year, and I think Riley's about to get the last laugh of me here. I traded him straight up for Riley's 23 first. Turned out to be the 107. I think I took QJ around that spot.
106.
106. So I think Riley's going to have the last laugh, especially if he wins it this year.
Yeah, I mean, Ridley is definitely – was going to be better than any – rookie receiver this year, at least for the first top three. And then when those guys got drafted and QJ went to the scenario he went to, the writing was on the wall that Ridley could be worst case wide receiver two on his team, QJ wide receiver three. But he's turning 30 in, I think, the end of the year. 29,
still,
end of the year.
Still on his rookie.
29.
Yeah.
Still on his rookie. So Ridley – Riley got the last laugh for this year, but for the future, I still think QJ is going to be a really good wide receiver with Justin Herbert. But yeah, all the Ridley owners, congratulations. Said it yesterday. Congratulations.
Yeah. Jack was a 30-point beatdown on me week one. It was just.
Yeah,
was,
that was. Ooh, the former champ coming out. 92.5.
We're still in our championship hangover. All right, we saw the banner being hung. We got our rings and we came out flat, just like the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I had said, I had Jack's team ranked high in the rankings for a reason, and that was with Chase and Adams not really doing anything. I just love Jack's team.
Yeah, obviously he has a big hole to fill now with Dobbins going down for the year, but. Mm-hmm. Mostert's questionable. P. Ryan, I don't know how relevant he's going to be all year. I think he's going to be 50-50 split, but you never know. Yeah. Antonio Gibson, woof. So Jack definitely has a hole to fill there.
Yeah, and it could be good for week two if Jones is out. Obviously, Dylan's an automatic start. But yeah, his weak spot, that's for sure.
Besides Devonta Smith on my side, I wasn't really happy with anybody on my team. Gibbs is still being acclimated. Lamar, 6 points. Kyle Pitts just going to stab a knife in my stomach every week. Everybody had a down week.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
And obviously, in both in this league, you're a young team, but you won it. And you're the other dynasty, you're kind of young wide receivers. But for the dynasty owners that have Garrett Wilson that are win now contenders, are you shipping him off?
I'm not. No, I. If you're win now, hopefully your window's more than a year. If your window's this year and that's it, then I'll be looking at offers. But just know you're not going to get that top five receiver return when Rodgers was there. So you're going to be selling him for less than he's worth. Now, if your window's 2 to 3 years, you're keeping him. Rodgers is not retiring like this. He's coming back next year. As soon as Rodgers steps back on that field, Wilson goes right back up to that top five upside. So that's kind of what I'm doing.
Okay. And what about in redraft? Because I believe, and I don't know if you think it's going to be a hot take, I'm trying to trade Garrett Wilson for anything, honestly. Like any value I can get, I'm trying to ship off Garrett Wilson.
Okay. So anything is a broad statement. So I don't know.
Anything of value. Like, I'm not going to trade him for Romeo Doubs. Like, right. Anything of, like, an actual value. Like, here's why. So, Zach Wilson last year, he missed weeks 1 through 3, 2 through 14, and 17 through 18. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, a good amount of games. The weeks that Zach Wilson played, here were Garrett Wilson's finishes as wide receiver. Again, he's a rookie. 59, 74, 86, 61, 16, 11, 77, 28, and 65. All four of Wilson's touchdowns came when Zach Wilson was not his quarterback. The weeks that Garrett Wilson, that Zach Wilson was not in, and the target wise, 8, 14, 11, 8, 15, 7, and 11. When Zach Wilson was not in.
Yeah, I don't love that, obviously, but Jeff, so how far are we talking here? Are we talking, let's say,
well, an easy one. So, like, let's think of guys that went around him, and we'll start off easy. CeeDee Lamb or Garrett Wilson.
Oh yeah, any guy who went around him within a round or two, I'm taking the other guy.
Okay, so what about Olave was going next, the third round.
Easily Olave, yeah. Let's go around farther.
Well, okay, we'll go. I'm on Jack's team, so we'll go. This guy's going around the fourth, fifth round. DeAndre Hopkins.
I would take Hopkins and redraft straight up for Garrett Wilson.
Wow.
I would.
Hot dog.
I would.
DJ Moore. So again, not a great performance, but
no, that's where it ends.
Okay. Brandon Ayuk.
I would take Ayuk any day redraft straight up for Garrett Wilson.
Okay. So, I mean, like, that's a, you know, you got to throw kind of where you drafted guys kind of out the window after, you know, first week, second week, obviously. That's a second round pick to a sixth, seventh round pick right now. Mm-hmm. So you're not high on Wilson from my understanding then.
I mean, on a redraft, you have to temper your expectations is all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. I didn't know how you'd feel. I know you have a hard on for Wilson, as do I. And now I'm trying to ship him off.
Yeah, I have Wilson in both dynasty leagues. I'm staying put. I'm hoping he's a young receiver. He's going to be great. It's just not going to be this year.
What if – so the one dynasty that you don't know if you're going to go all in, like you have an interesting team. If Stephon Diggs for Garrett Wilson, you say, I'm going to go all in, would you do that?
No, I don't want to. I like my young receivers. I like being able to be – all right, I got my four or five receiver core. I like being able to not worry about them for the next 5 years.
Well, you have three because the one guy doesn't catch a pass in Drake London.
We don't talk about the Falcons. I'm just going
to – all right, well, let's go on to Cooper's Troopers versus Philly.
Yeah, well, high-scoring team of the week, 135 to 102, but Eckler, he might not play this week. Deontay Johnson's for sure not playing this week. So, Nick, we said before the season started, if Nick has an injury or two, it's not going to be great. He's got Cooper Kupp still on the bench. He does have Josh Kelly to plug in for Austin Eckler, which does help tremendously, but he's going to have to play someone like Rasheed Rice.
He's going to probably put Puka in.
Oh, I didn't see Puka. It's a tough matchup, but you do you.
It is. I mean, Khalil Herbert might not be the start, might not be the main guy anymore.
No. Billy's team, London goosed him. It was a down week. He got 102, but that was mainly because of Watson and McCaffrey, top two guys. That's it.
And Chubb. Chubb had 16.7. That's a good week.
Throwing Chubb in the flex spot, just you can't do the man dirty like that. He deserves a starting spot.
Okay, well, Saquon and McCaffrey are the two running backs, so it's okay.
Kyler's Film Club had a bye week this week, starting off 1-0.
Jesus, don't. That man has a family.
We are talking about Brendan's team at 79 points on the week. His top performer was 13 points. Cortland Sutton, go fake. Oh, no, Jacoby Myers all the way
down. I was going to say, you don't like scoring all the way down, do you?
Jacoby Myers got like 40% of his overall fantasy. Yeah, it's I'm banking on that Colton's pick being the 102 because you have the 101.
Yeah, and so I'm banking on Colton's pick to be higher now. So he don't need to get any more good young players.
Krieg's team, 121 on a down fantasy week. He put up right around what he was projected to put up. So hot start for Krieg's, and he's already chirping me in my comments about week two. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, yeah, he now has James Conner and Mixon as his running backs, a huge upgrade. And Andrews should be back healthy. So, yeah, I mean, Krieg's he's a win-now team, and I think that Mixon trade really made him, you know, kind of realize, like, hey, I got to go all in.
If the playoffs started today, me and you would be playing each other in the toilet bowl.
Okay. Hey, welcome. Welcome, buddy.
Yikes. Yeah, so I don't know if this Midwest Masters will be every week, but maybe we'll do a couple week at a time check-in here just to keep the listeners satisfied.
Yeah. No, I like it.
Let's move on. Let's go to the Thursday night game. Vikings-Eagles. I know you texted me earlier. You said this is for sure a loss for Minnesota. It is let's see. Where's the line?
6-point favorites. Over-under is 49.
So one of the highest of the week. This should be a good matchup, but you're obviously not picking the Vikings to win here.
I am not. There's possibility that two of their starting offensive linemen are out, and they were obviously atrocious last week against the Buccaneers pass rush. And now you add in the Eagles, who Jalen Carter in his first ever game as a pro had, what, 8 pressures, I think. I just don't see this really being close. I think it's going to be exactly what it was last year, and it was an early blow. The only guys that I'm comfortable playing are Jefferson and Addison, and that's just because they're going to be down. They're going to have to be throwing it. And the Eagles are missing a safety and, I believe, a corner as well. But I'm not comfortable starting Madison at all.
Well, all of those points you just mentioned, it goes towards Kirk Cousins maybe being a streaming option, or are you out on Kirk?
I'm out because I can see him just – he's going to throw it a lot. That doesn't mean that it's always good. I mean, we saw, you know, Justin Fields do it, 35 times last week and didn't really do anything for it, and he's mobile. I don't want to stream Kirk this week, even though, again, I'm kind of going back and forth. Mac Jones, QB2? QB1?
QB2? Wait, I don't know. QB2 or 1?
Yeah, he's one of the two.
Tua was QB1.
Oh, yeah. So QB2. I'm not – I never thought I'd say that. But I'm just not taking the risk. Primetime Kirk, it's a thing. I'd much rather stream a Jordan Love over against the Falcons, Geno Smith against the Lions, Jared Goff against the Seahawks. I'd rather have both those guys over Kirk Cousins this week.
On the Eagles side, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Hurts and Goddard had down weeks. They will be just fine. The two receivers, yeah, obviously play them. Kenny Gainwell, rib injuries. He is going to miss this game. You do not touch this backfield. I don't care how hurting you are at running back.
Yeah, it's, again, game script. We just talked about it for the Vikings. That's why I like the receivers. And this should be a positive game script for the running game. But you don't know who they're going to throw. You don't know who they're going to throw out there. All guys could get 8-9 carries, and that's it. And you can't try. You can't bank on that to start out the week.
Nope. See you later, Philly backfield.
Yeah. Until Gainwell gets back and proves it again, I'm out on him.
Packers-Falcons start off the noon game. Packers are 1-point road favorites. 40.5 over-under. I'm surprised you mentioned Jordan Love in the streaming, because I can definitely see this being a 17-13 low-scoring game where each team only gets 6-7 possessions a game on each side.
I'm not buying the Atlanta hype. All their scoring, or most of it, was 3 of their 4 touchdowns were on turnovers, and their 4th touchdown was on a 44. They got the ball in 44-yard line. So if Jordan Love can just keep the be protective of the ball, I think the Packers can honestly win this game by 10 or more. And I think that's going to come from Aaron Rodgers, or Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
Jordan Love throwing. I'm like Shannon, just Shannon Sharp, just saying skip to Stephen A.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. And I can see that coming from Jordan Love throwing 2 touchdowns, maybe even 3 again. Aaron Jones might be out. So the running game isn't going to be as elite as what it was. You know, if Watson's back, I would watch the team. If Watson's back, then I really like Jordan Love as a streamer. And if Aaron Jones is back, we saw him line up as a wide receiver. So I think Jordan Love is a safe play this week.
There's a lot of big names on this Green Bay injury report. Dobbs, Jones, Quay Walker, Rashawn Gary, Elton Jenkins. I don't know if they're all questionable. So
I'm not worried. I'm not worried yet. Quay is being evaluated for a concussion. He hasn't been diagnosed with one. I think Romeo, he was obviously on a snap count last week, and they're just being cautious, you know, making sure that he doesn't go full throttle on, you know, probably a little sore hammy. Elton, I didn't even know he was on that injury report. So I'm really not too worried besides Watson and Jones.
So people picked up Algier if he was on waivers for week one. I think I'm playing him right away. If it's a 2-3 flex league, I think I'm playing him right away. Until this backfield is fully Bijan's, it's both running backs and Kyle Pitts if you have to.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to see, you know, the Packers, they gave up 27.8 fantasy points to the running backs, but that was 17 of that came in garbage time to Roshan on just checkdowns. Right. So, you know, kind of, you know, skew that, you know, for what it is. And I do think the heart of this Packers defense, it's Jair, but it's also the front seven. I'm starting Bijan, no questions asked, obviously. Algier, I mean, if you're hurting at running backs like a lot of people are, then yeah, I'd be comfortable. But if you have Algier or Bijan and Pollard, they are going for a second round, then I would look for a different receiver to play over Algier.
Raiders, Bills, biggest line of the week, Buffalo minus 9.5 at home. The over-under is 47. And this is definitely my survivor pick for week two. I think the Bills easily handle this one.
I know. They very well should. But just how bad Josh Allen looked, it gives me the scared vibes. But that was against the best defense in the league. But yeah, I mean, Bills, you're starting Diggs, Allen, James Cook. Kincaid's probably a fine play this week. Gabe, if you're playing against a guy that you need to score a lot of points, hell, throw Gabe Davis out there. He might go 3 for 101.
It might be one of his three games he scores a touchdown. You never know.
Yeah. Yep.
Kincaid, I'm still a little nervous. It is a positive matchup, but hell, I'll play Hunter Henry over Kincaid. I'll play just a bunch of these streaming guys over him until, you know, Dawson Knox saw the same amount of targets.
He did. You know, he definitely did. You know, Kincaid is a better pass catcher in the open field. Again, it's only 1 week to what teams have done, defenses have done, so we can't really go off much. But Raiders gave up 9.1 points to the tight end room last week. So I think Kincaid's a fine streamable. Like, I'd rather play him over Njoku.
Against the Steelers, I think I'd rather play Njoku.
Njoku is what he always is, and that's just nothingness. So I'd much rather get a young tight end in a far better offense. That's just
the only question. That's fine. I mean, they're both question marks once you get down that far into the tight end room. So the only question mark on the Raiders side is if you're riding the hot hand with Jacoby Myers or not. It's 9 for 81 and 2 touchdowns. Are we plugging him in this week versus a pretty solid Buffalo defense?
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off the concussion, or if he even has it, he's in concussion protocol.
Assuming he's out there.
Assuming he's out there, I don't know. I mean, he didn't get a good defense last week.
People are going to question Kendrick Bourne, Jacoby Myers, the guys that Puka Nacua, the guys that were hot week one.
Yeah, and I think all of them have tough matchups week two, which I hate.
They do.
No, if anyone in the Raiders, it's Josh Jacobs and Adams. I know Adams was limited at practice today, so obviously monitor that. But for me, it's Adams and Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I figure it was going to be that easy, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on.
No, I definitely understand. If Adams is out, if for some reason his limited practice means he's out, then yes, throw in Jacoby Myers. He's the only receiver that I really trust out there.
Division matchup, it's going to be a good one. Ravens-Bengals. Bengals are 3.5-point home favorites, 46.5 over under. Let's start with the Ravens side. I mean, both quarterbacks played like shit week one, but one was because of the weather, one was because I don't know what the fuck happened. I mean, you drafted Lamar and you drafted Burrow to play him, and I do think both these guys have solid matchups this week, or solid weeks this week.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a get-right game. Bengals secondary is kind of iffy. They lost Bates, obviously. He went to Atlanta. I think they lost their other starting safety. So they're hurting. It's hard to tell from last week with the weather. But what are you doing with this Ravens backfield?
I'm not touching it at all. Unless I absolutely have to play one, I would play Gus Edwards over Justice Hill, but I'm not playing either of them.
Oh, okay. I mean, I know people picked them up, picked up both of them. Chubb went for, you know, 16.3 fantasy points last week. That was right in the middle. So you're out. So are you just playing Zay and Andrews then?
You're very bullish on Zay still getting that production with Andrews coming back, and I'm a little more nervous, but I am playing Zay over Drake London in my three flex league in our dynasty league, but I am definitely more nervous than you are.
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to get 10 targets again, but he could still easily see 7. Dobbins saw 3, and Dobbins is a far better pass catcher than the 2 that they have now. It was a negative game script for the pass catchers. How many times did Lamar throw it? Last week, 25?
22, 17 for 22.
Exactly. That's going to get bumped up to probably 30. So yeah, I'm fine playing Zay. I think he's a good flex play.
Other side of the ball, Mixon, Chase, Higgins, don't worry about your goose. You're playing them. I mean, the Bengals side, it's pretty easy. If you have one, you're playing them.
Yeah, you always play them, the main four, and you just really don't question it.
It just blows my mind that one of the best offenses in the league just has an irrelevant tight end.
I know.
But anyways.
And they're about to have a – they're going to be losing Higgins in this offseason.
Yeah, this is Higgins definitely last year. You just traded for Higgins. Are you nervous at all that he's going to go to a worse situation?
No offense. I mean, the Bengals are one of the best offenses in the league. So no matter what, unless he goes to Buffalo or he goes to Kansas City, that's really the only other way. It's a positive team. But he can go to a team where he is the legitimate wide receiver one with an average quarterback, a good quarterback. And that's going to be 150 targets that he will demand. So, no, I'm not too worried, I guess, if he goes to the Giants and it's freaking Danny Dimes. Or heaven forbid.
Carolina for Bryce Young and Jonathan Mingo next year.
I mean, Bryce Young will be better. I'm not going to love it, but he's still going to see the most targets on that team. He is clearly the best wide receiver. If he goes to the Ravens, then that will suck.
Oh, God.
That would just suck. But I don't think I don't know. I'm not nervous by any means yet. And there's a whole off season to be there. And you know me, I trade people. So
yeah, Lions 5.5-point favorites at home versus Seahawks 47 over under. The Seahawks just fell flat on their face versus the Rams. I think this is going to be probably the highest scoring matchup of the week, and I can definitely see the Seahawks covering. I think this will be a closer game.
Yeah, the only concern is they are possibly missing two offensive linemen, and the Lions' pass rush is pretty good. So I think it could be a lot of dunk and dink type of game passes for these guys. So that's more JSN and Lockett, and maybe Ken Walker finally gets involved in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, Charbonnet was pretty much non-existent, so I think this is still Ken Walker's backfield. I think this is a get-right game for him, but the only question I had was, if Lockett is on the field, are you still sitting JSN? The JSN owners want to know when their time is coming. They see Zay Flowers doing things. They see Jordan Addison doing things. They're itching to get JSN in that lineup.
Yeah, no, if Lockett is playing, then JSN is sitting. He did see a good amount of targets to see in his first game with obviously having two elite wide receivers on his team. But he saw 5 targets, which is great. But you can't trust that without seeing a breakout or having an injury to Lockett. If he saw 5 targets and Seattle still put up, 40 points or, 28 points, then I'd be a little bit more confident seeing that they scored and their offense looked good. But offense looked bad, injuries to the offensive line. So, no, if Lockett is in, JSN is out.
I didn't touch on Geno, but Geno and Goff, you mentioned them earlier. They're both solid streamers this week.
Yeah, even though that there could be the O-line issue, I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. And the Seahawks might be playing catch-up, so I think Geno is going to just have to be ripping it.
Dan Campbell said the rookie Jahmyr Gibbs got one under his belt. So running back 36 last week, 7 total fantasy points, wasn't on the field nearly as much as people thought. I think week after week, you'll start to see him more and more incorporated. If you have Gibbs, I'm still rolling with them. Redraft or obviously Dynasty too.
Yeah, he has that electric speed that he can just take a screen pass or a RB slant to the house. Again, we saw last week the Seattle defense could not stop the run. And Kyren Williams had a pretty solid fantasy week. He scored. Obviously, stupid Cam Akers was bad, but he still scored. So I think Monty, I think the big three, Amon-Ra, Monty, and Gibbs are in, and Goff is a stream. And, you know, Laporta, if you punted that tight end position, he saw a good amount of targets. He was a tight end 8, I believe, on the week. I'm not mad if you play Laporta. I think it's a fine play again.
Are you playing him over guys like Luke Musgrave and all those other guys that are in streaming consideration?
I would play Laporta over Musgrave, unless Watson's out, then I'd probably do Musgrave.
Okay.
Just because, you know, he's the second, I think, best pass catcher there. But, you know, I think I'd play him. I'm going to say this, and he's just going to go off, but I'd play him over Higbee against the Niners.
He's lock it in. Higbee tight end 4 finish this week.
Yeah, Higbee's just going to go off now. But, yeah, I mean, I would play him with Gerald Everett. He didn't do crap last week. Where Sam Laporta did. So, I had said my hot take in the offseason, Laporta and Kincaid are going to be top 12 tight ends, and Musgrave might even be up there now with the opportunities. So, I do like Laporta this week.
Chargers 3-point road favorites versus the Titans. Over under is 45 points. Chargers side of the ball, you're playing Herbert, you're playing Keenan Allen. If Austin Eckler, though, is active and is in there, if you picked up Joshua Kelly, how confident 1-10 are you if you put him in your lineups that he'll get another 15 points and be in the top 10 again?
I'm throwing him in and not watching. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, Tennessee's run defense is what it always is. It's really, really, really good. They gave up only 6 fantasy points last week to, you know, it was only just Jamal Williams. But he could do the same thing, 6 fantasy points, or he could be a great play and in this high power offense. So I'm putting him in, and I'm not looking until after the game.
Yeah, I think that's the move.
Yeah.
Mike Williams, he's not on the injury report. I guess the concussion went away.
Okay.
Wide receiver 48 last week, played 77% of snaps. I don't get the hype around Mike Williams. He's so boom or bust, bust being more probable than boom at this point in his career. I don't feel
confident. I'm playing in this week solely because of the matchup.
Okay. Other side of the ball, Jesus Christ. Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, end of list.
That's it. Yeah, that is it, and that's probably what it's going to be for the entire season. I mean, we saw what Miami was able to do, but that was with 2 far better wide receivers. I do not see D-Hop doing what Tyreek Hill did, and I don't think Treylon Burks can do what Waddle can do. So even though it's it's a great matchup, I'm not trusting Treylon Burks in my lineup.
Bears Bucks. This is gonna be a barn burner.
I'm surprised it's this high of an over under.
2.5 point home favorites for the Bucks. 41 over under. Justin Fields, you drafted him to be that or take that jump into elite fantasy status. You have to keep rolling with them. You can't take week one as the end all be all. So Justin Fields, please do good.
Yeah, we'll see.
You're not
playing. The Bucks had a good pass rush. Kirk was running for his life a lot. Didn't have a great game. I think it could almost be the same thing as last week if they don't fix this O-line in the play calling.
I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. Fields will be on the ground 15, 20 times this game. But, yeah, let's just hope he runs. There's more design play calls. There's a little more time in the pocket, but. Yeah. You never know.
Who would you rather play, Tua against New England, tough defense, or Fields against Tampa?
Give me Fields.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody playing New England.
Okay, that's fair.
It was a down week overall for all the fantasy guys. Not during garbage time for the Bears. Khalil Herbert, I'm iffy about playing him. DJ Moore, you're probably playing him, but you don't
feel the greatest. You're playing DJ Moore.
You are playing him, but you just don't feel the greatest about it.
No, not, and it's not because of him. Right. It's because of the play calling, the O-line giving the quarterback time, and the quarterback. So he's a guy that, you know, we've seen. He can be great. It's just, are they going to make changes and let him be great?
Baker Mayfield ? Streaming DK?
Not a bad stream.
It's not.
it's really not the worst.
I don't know if there's many one quarterback leagues where he finds the lineup, but if you're building some DraftKings lineup, you want to stack him and Godwin or him and Evans. I might even do it.
No, you can't. Not in our DraftKings against each other. You cannot, because I'm not calling it, but I put it out there.
Oh, my God. All right.
But, I mean, he's projected 17.6 in a six-point passing touchdown leagues. I think he'll probably get 22, 20 to 22, I really think, in that range. So, it's not a great option, but again, in DraftKings, he's probably super cheap, and I'm playing Evans and Godwin, and I think I'm playing White, even though he looked really, really bad, but I think I'm playing White too.
I don't even have that hesitancy. I'm playing all three of those guys with confidence this week.
Okay. Just because of how bad the Bears' defense looked?
Pretty much. End of story.
All right.
Chiefs-Jags, this is a game I'm most excited for. I hate that it's the 12 o'clock game. I wish it was the game of the week, but Kansas City, 3.5-point favorites, even though they are on the road. They did start out 0-1, over-under 51 points. Kelsey should be back. Mahomes obviously is in. I don't know if you play I wouldn't say everybody on the Chiefs, but
I would be fine playing Pacheco this week.
Blessed. All right, I love to hear
that. I'm fine with it. Obviously, Jags did a great job against the Colts running backs last week, but they didn't have anyone. They did well. And Pacheco has a chance to score every week because his team, his offense is usually pretty good. I think Pacheco's a fine flex play. You know, I think he's projected 13. I think that's his, you know, maybe ceiling, but I think his floor is like 9.
With Kelsey coming back, if you receiver, you're a fool. It doesn't matter what the over-under is. It doesn't matter what the matchup is. You just can't do it.
No. Unless one guy is doing it week after week after week after week, then yeah. But no one did anything last week to make you be like, I got to play MVS. Like, no. It's Kelsey and Mahomes. Never doubt it. And you question Pacheco, and that's it.
Lawrence, ETN, Ridley, the big three in your lineups. I'm fine with playing Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram. I still think Christian Kirk is the wide receiver two on this team. I'm not buying the Zay Jones week one hype. Are you on the same page with me? You'd be fine with playing Kirk and Ingram here?
Yeah. I mean, again, it should be a high scoring game. I believe, even though the Chiefs defense did pretty well against the Lions, supposed to be high powered offense. But, no, I mean, I think this could be a 38-34 ball game, and you want as many pieces as you can within that in that score.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it. We can just skip this next game, Colts-Texans, right?
If Richardson is out there, you play him, and same with Pittman. That's it.
Colts are a one-point road favorite, 39 over-under. Yeah, it's that simple for the Colts side, and it's – Damian Pierce for the Texans, same as last year.
And if you're in a 14 man league or three flex, I'm not mad you put Nico out there as your final flex. I'm just saying.
I mean, 6 for 80 last week. That's that's nothing to just shove under the rug. So
yeah, and we saw the Jags Ridley great option last week and Zay Jones. So clearly, this Colts defensive backs and secondary is bad. I mean, we knew that coming into the season, so I am fine. I think I have Nico in one of our dynasty leagues in the starting lineup.
Whoa. All right, putting on his big boy pants this week.
He fucking better.
Niners, 8-point road favorites in a division matchup versus the Rams. 44.5 over under. I mean, the Rams shut down the Seattle offense last week.
They did.
maybe our arch nemesis Brock Purdy finally comes down to earth.
I don't think so. I think this game will be a one-sided ball game. I think Brock Purdy's a good stream. And he's getting into that category of, what are you talking about stream? Like, no, you start him. He's getting there, but I think he's a good stream.
I know. He throws the ball 25 to 30 times a game, more often than not in the mid-20s. I just don't love that.
But he's every game he has started in healthy. The only game he hasn't started healthy was the Eagle game, the playoff game. He's thrown 2 touchdowns or more. He holds the record for the first, and he has the weapons. So yeah, it's a great stream. I'm playing CMC. I'm playing Ayuk. I don't like Debo, but you're still playing him, and you're playing Kittle.
Yeah, there's no question marks on this side of the ball.
But Kittle is up for suspect because he sucked last week, and that could be a theme. So he's got 2 more weeks. If he doesn't show me anything, then he's getting benched.
Kicking him to the curb.
I would much rather play Laporta over Kittle this week. 100%.
I think I'm still playing the big name on the better offense. Other side of the ball, this is just an awful matchup.
For the guys who just picked up Kyren and Puka, like, what do you do?
And Atwell. People picked up all 3. I'm not playing any of them. There's no way you can play them.
You have to play one. Nick C, okay, you're Nick C's team. Do you play Puka, right? Like, if you had Drake London or Puka?
I think I'm playing
15 Drake targets London. To 1 target. Who are you playing?
I understand, and I think I'm still going with Drake London. That's probably the wrong answer.
You are a fool.
Let's go back to Nick's lineup, all right? If I'm Nick's lineup and I have to play someone because I have injuries, it's going to be probably Puka, yeah.
It is 15 targets. I'm you cannot just say, "Oh my god, 15 targets," and not expect him to get, even if he gets 8 targets, which is a good amount of targets in a normal NFL game. That's half of what he did.
I mean, yeah, I'm just going to make it easy. I don't want to play any of these guys in the Rams offense this week.
I have Puka. I think I got him in 2 leagues, and I'm not playing him because I do have good wide receivers. But if you are hurting, then yeah, I think Puka's the only safe one.
Yeah, I think out of any team this week, I will be watching the Rams the closest just because of Kyren, Tutu, Puka. All those guys went off, and they're no-namers in this league right now, so.
Mm-hmm. Just
see if it continues.
Yep. Here's a game that I just don't want to watch.
Oh, God. Giants, Cardinals. Giants are 5.5-point road favorites after losing by 40 points to the Cowboys. 39.5 over under. I did see we'll talk about Darren Waller first because he does have that lingering injury that landed him on the IR basically all. That is cause for concern. But our two my guys that we picked together without knowing, Deontay Johnson and Darren Waller, off to electric starts here.
Okay, well, injuries. It's not like they're just sucking, like injuries,
it's just bad luck.
You're playing Saquon. If Waller's healthy, you play him. If he's not, then you just play Saquon.
What do we do about James Conner? 14 for 62 last week. Yeah.
Okay. I am playing him. He's going to get 20 opportunities every game. I'm playing him. He'll find the end zone here and there. I'm playing him.
Every week, regardless of matchup?
I think so, yeah. What's the difference between him and Damian Pierce?
Pierce is 10 years younger.
Okay, he's probably 5 years younger, but that's both pretty much bad the difference. Teams, both on bad teams, and they're going to get work. Like, people are playing Damian Pierce every week, and I would too, because he's going to get you 9 fantasy points. If he does find the end zone, he gets you 15, maybe 18. James Conner can do that, and he's a better pass catcher. So, yeah, James Conner is in probably 90% of the games. Maybe not when they play the Niners, but other than that, he's in.
Hollywood only saw 5 targets last week in a game that was pretty close the whole way. So, definitely cause for concern if you drafted him 6th, 7th round in redraft, but Hollywood's going to be one of those frustrating players all year. And I just don't know what to do with them.
I would probably rather play Romeo over Hollywood right now.
If Watson's back, I'd rather play Hollywood. I would still rather take the wide receiver one on the team.
That's London, too.
Christian Kirk or Hollywood Brown?
Oh, grody. give me the 51 over under and the better, light years better quarterback. Give me Christian Kirk. I don't care. If he gets 3 points again, then I'll be wrong.
This next line is so fucking depressing. Jets, Cowboys. Cowboys are 9-point home favorites. I get it. Zach Wilson's the quarterback. Over-under is only 38 points. That's not a lot of implied points for these Jets here week after week. I get Dallas is an elite defense, but Jesus Christ, this is not going to be good.
Yeah.
For fantasy options.
I'm not playing Wilson because I traded him. And everyone should trade him. I really don't want to play Garrett Wilson this week against this defense.
I mean, most people don't have a choice. You drafted Wilson high enough, you don't really have a choice, but
I think you do. Mike Evans or Garrett Wilson?
Mike Evans this week.
That's not even a question. That's an easy answer. Ayuk or Garrett Wilson? We already talked about this, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Pittman.
Give me Pittman by the slightest of margins.
All these guys are the 6th, 7th, 8th round guys. So you got to throw that. I'd rather play Dotson and Terry McLaurin. There, I get Garrett Wilson is freaking amazing, and you took him in the 2nd round, maybe even 1st round. But you cannot trust. If they were playing the Cardinals, I will play him. But they're playing against a team who literally gave up 0 points. And their defense scored more points than the Giants' offense did. Which obviously it's not hard to do when they put up zero. But no, this Cowboys defense is electric. They can rush the quarterback, and the Jets' O-line's terrible. I'm not playing Garrett Wilson. I barely want to play Breece Hall.
I was going to ask you, now that we have a week to see Hall the first Cook discussion, Hall played 31% of snaps. Cook played 50%. Cook out had more opportunities, 16-12. I'm not super comfortable playing either running back, but if I had to play one, I'm still going to bank on Breece Hall breaking off a run or, you know, working himself more into that starting role as the weeks go on.
Yeah, I'm a wide receiver. I was like, why can I not find Breece Hall? Because he's a running back. okay, now it wants to be slow. I just want to see what Saquon did. Yeah, Dallas gave up 11 points to the running backs. I'm assuming that was all Saquon. Breece Hall is going to be in a timeshare with Dalvin Cook, obviously. I'm playing zero New York Jets. The only Jets I might play is the Jets defense, and that's probably it.
Yeah, sad times. Sad times we're living in. Pollard, fire him up. CeeDee Lamb, fire him up. Yep. Jake Ferguson saw a lot of targets last week. Are we is he working his way into the streaming category now?
No, not against his defense. Yeah, that's really the only reason. Again, if it was a better matup, then I wouldn't mind him as a streamable guy. But, you know, he is out, and I'm not playing Dak either. It's Pollard and Lamb.
Broncos, 3.5-point away favorites Broncos home favorites.
Home versus
the Commanders, 39 over-under. This is going to be a gross game. The Broncos just play nothing but gross games. This will be no exception. I'm hoping Sam Howell looks better, but Denver's just a tough place to play. I know their defense ain't anything special, but this is going to be a 17-16 ball game here.
Yeah, this is – I mean, I'm playing Brian Robinson. I'm playing Dotson. I'm playing McLaurin, and I'm playing Javonte and Sutton. That's about it.
I wanted to limit
your expectations. Simmer them down.
Logan Thomas, 8 targets last week. Is that smoke here or is that nothing?
You can send that to the fucking moon. I don't care. No, I'm not playing Logan Thomas.
Dolphins, Patriots. It's another good division matchup I'm excited for. Dolphins, 3-point road favorites. 46.5 over under. They looked like the best team coming out of week 1 here.
They did. Mostert is banged up. watch for that. Even if he's the lone guy, do you play him against this Patriots defense, or are you out on him this week?
God, no. There's no way.
Okay.
There's no way.
So you're playing Waddle and Tyreek.
I'm also playing Tua. I'm playing Tua over Anthony Richardson in my redraft league. I'm riding the hot hand.
Wow.
I do have the Tua Hill stack, which helps, but yeah. I still think I'd ride Tua.
Wow. I want to see what Tua did last year against the Patriots really quick. Talk to me. Is it just because of the stack or just
why? The stack definitely helps, but I would like to see Tua continue his, 466 yards, bro.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're playing the Patriots defense, the Jets defense. You can't just bench Tua after that performance he put on last week.
So he only got to play the Patriots once last year. It was week one, and he had 16.8 fantasy points, 33 attempts, 23 completions, 270 yards, and a touchdown. I'm not as bullish, but it's so hard not to because of what he did last week. I understand. But week two last year, he did the same thing against the Ravens, put up 50 points, 469 yards, 6 touchdowns. The next week, played a tough Buffalo defense, 13 points. So he can be limited after great performances. So I think I might sit him out this week. I would much rather play – if Anthony Richardson obviously is healthy, I would play Richardson.
Okay. This Patriots offense, there's so many damn question marks between Mac Jones, Kendrick Bourne, Hunter Henry. People pick these guys up off waivers. It should be a high-scoring game. The over-under is one of the hires of the week, but I don't know. I think I've got to see Bourne and Henry do it again. I got to see all three of these guys do it again. I can't play any of these guys.
I mean, Mac Jones is such a funny option to play. Oh, man. But no, I think I'd rather play Mac over Kirk Cousins, though. I really think I would.
Give me Cousins. I think they'll both be higher scoring, and I'll take the better quarterback with the better weapons.
Let's see. Mac Jones is projected 18. Miami did – I mean, they gave up 21. That was to Herbert. I'm playing Stevenson 100%. And so that's probably just about it then, I guess, like confidently.
Sure, right. I hate how they do 2 months. Hour apart from each other, bro. Get this out of my face. How are we supposed to?
Well, it's usually week one, but they were not going to be doing that last week.
No, Saints 3-point road favorites against the Panthers. Fuck the Panthers. 39.5.
Both these games are just going to suck.
Over under. Yes, they will. As far as the Saints go, Chris Olave, obviously. I mean,
I'm playing Jamal Williams.
People played Jamal Williams last week, and he didn't do much.
Yes, but Tennessee's defense is all rush defense is always like really, really good. We saw what Bijan and Algier did to this Panthers front seven. I'm playing Jamal Williams.
He did see 20 opportunities. He'll probably see more in this matchup, so I'm fine with playing Williams.
I'm playing Miles Sanders, and the only other guy I might play is Hayden Hurst.
Oh, God. I can't. There's no way. There's no way. I got to play Musgrave. I got to play Laporta. I'm playing Njoku. I'm playing anybody over Hayden Hurst. I can't do that.
All right. I bet you Hayden Hurst outscores Njoku, though.
We'll have to put a bet on that. Nice Monday night bet.
All right.
Browns, Steelers. Browns, we got a lot of away favorites this week. 2.5-point away favorites for the Browns. One of the lower this might be the lowest over under the week. 38.5.
No, 38 from Jets Cowboys.
Oh God, that's right. Don't remind me. All right. With that being said, this is going to be a defensive battle. Not super confident playing Watson. Not super confident playing Elijah Moore, but Nick Chubb, Amari Cooper, they'll still be in my lineup.
Yeah, and Najee, I'm playing Najee. Pat Freiermuth is banged up. He's questionable. Pickens might be the only other guy I play.
Yeah, you're not playing Allen Robinson with Deontay Johnson hurt. There's no way. Most people have been burned by him over the years. That dude's dead to me.
Yeah, he would have to go out and get 10 for 100 for me to be okay with it.
Oh, God. I mean, if I had to pick one game, I probably will be watching this Browns-Steelers game. But, yeah, neither matchups are great matchups.
No, not at all. But it's an important game. I mean, this AFC North, I really do think any team could win. But obviously what we saw from Kenny Pickett, that was not a good start. Again, it was against great defense. So I think for the Steelers to be taken seriously, they need to win this ball game, or else it's just going to be the same thing as last year. They'll be 2-6 and end up 9-8.
I mean, other side of the ball, what talk about setting the tone for the best division in football. Browns 2-0 versus two divisional matchups. That'd be electric for that fan base.
Yeah, that really would. Pittsburgh's at home. I think that place is just going to go nuts. I think it's going to be a boring game, but it's going to be a close one. So, you know, I will be watching that one too, because it's actually two good teams.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We'll be posting throughout the week, or we'll drop this episode tomorrow on Thursday. We'll be posting on our socials throughout the week of our, you know, starts, our sits, our breakouts, stuff like that. So if you're listening here, go ahead and follow us at The Kneel Down, and we will talk to you guys after week 2.
Talk to you then.